The scripture reading today comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, beginning with verse 1. Mark's Gospel, verse 1, chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they could go and anoint Jesus' dead body. Very early in the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they came to the tomb. They were saying to each other, "He's going to roll the stone away from the entrance for us." When they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, and it was a very large stone. Going into the tomb, they saw a young man in a white robe seated on the right side, and they were startled. But he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He isn't here. Look, here's the place where they laid him. Go tell his disciples, especially Peter, that he is going ahead of you into Galilee, and you will see him there, just as he told you." Overcome with terror and dread, they fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The joy of Easter was slow to dawn upon the disciples. The shadow of darkness that had fallen over the land of Jesus, the land as Jesus was crucified, was surpassed only by the sorrow that filled their hearts. The joy of the resurrection did not come with the day's first dawn or even the announcement in the garden that Jesus had been raised. To say that a lot changed for the disciples with the crucifixion of Jesus would be an understatement. Everything had changed for them. They had lost their beloved teacher and friend. They were painfully reminded of the power of nails and mallet in the oppressive hands of the empire that had crucified Jesus, and who stood by with a cross for each one of them if they dared voice the least opposition. They had lost their hope when Jesus had died, hope that he would use his miraculous power to overthrow Roman domination and establish the kingdom of God about which he had said so much. The world and everything in it had changed. Death's relentless hand pressed hard upon them, holding them in its cold, firm grip. In the words of the script of this morning's sunrise service, there was no doubt. There was no future. There was no hope. How were they to face another day? How could they go on with their lives when they'd lost so much? How could they live when all hope had been taken from them? How do we? These were the questions that Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, had, and they had pondered those questions through the long hours of the Sabbath. What could they do to overcome the paralyzing grip of sorrow? How could they function without hope? Whatever they were to do, they knew they had to do it together, and they formulated a plan. By all accounts, it seems the best idea they could come up with was to accept the reality of what had happened. They knew that they found themselves in a world where everything around them would echo with a sound of death. Nothing would be heard above the emptiness of that reality. So out they went to embrace death and all that went with it. Death was universal, and the women knew the routine. They set out to do what they knew how to do, to go through the motions of anointing the dead, while a little bit of them was still dying inside. Armed with a basket of spices and heartfelt devotion, they headed into the place of the dead to mask the reality of death's odor. Undeterred by the impossibility of getting past the rock-solid barricade that separated them from all hope, standing in the place of the dead, the message of Easter brought no joy to the women. In fact, it made no sense at all. The messenger sent to announce the resurrection seems to have spoken a language the women could not understand. Clearly, the messenger knew who they were looking for, Jesus of Nazareth. Clearly, it wasn't some kind of dark nightmare. He was crucified. Clearly, they were in the right spot. Here's the place where they laid him. Obviously, he's not here. But what to make about the part that he had been raised? Women knew about the death of Jesus. It was painfully clear. But the message about the resurrection flew in the face of everything that they knew to be real. Standing in the place of death, accepting death as the final word, expecting to continue to hear nothing but the echo of death's emptiness. The message of the resurrection was utterly absurd and incomprehensible. Hearing the first Easter sermon brought confusion rather than joy to the women. Having been commissioned as messengers of the Easter story, they were ill-prepared to assume that role. Mark's gospel originally ended with the concluding verse of this morning's scripture reading, leaving the women overcome with terror and dread. Mark's story originally ended with the women fleeing from the tomb, saying nothing to anyone because they were afraid. When it comes to the story of the resurrection, we too tend to stop at verse 8. Timothy Atkins Jones finds a parallel between the women standing in the tomb of Jesus and the tomb of the world in which we stand. He writes, "The women's initial experience of this word of resurrection is unsettling. The hope of the resurrection does not emerge instantly. Their first response is bewilderment, buttressed by silence and fear. All these years later, their Easter experience is not too much different from ours. They expect death. They are met with an empty tomb, and then they get a word about resurrection. This is exactly what we have today. We come with the expectation of death in this dying world all around us. And then we receive a word of resurrection." Resurrection simply doesn't compute. Not in a dying world, not in a world where we know death and know it to be universal and irreversible. We know about death. We acknowledge that we stand in a place of death, and we allow that to define the reality and our view of it. But resurrection? Are we prepared to believe what sounds utterly absurd? Timothy Atkins Jones goes on to ask, what does it take to move past that trembling, to believe the unbelievable and be free? And what if believing isn't enough? We can't come to the tomb again and leave only with some new belief. How do we step out of the tombs in which we stand? How do we ever move past verse 8? To get past the trembling, much less to experience the joy of Easter, we must do the work of Easter and what it demands of us. It requires much more than looking at the realities of the world in which we find ourselves. It demands more than mustering up the devotion that defiantly sets out with our little baskets of spice to mask the foul odor that hangs like a noxious cloud around us, or assaulting insurmountable barriers with blind denial. To stand in the places of death in our world, in our own life scripts, and to be able to comprehend the message of Easter, to begin to experience the joy of Easter, to enter into the newness of life and be raised up together with Christ, that takes hope. Hope provides the assurance that defies what the physical world might define as reality. Hope stands in a place where our dreams and meaning of our lives lie buried, and knows that death does not have the final word. It is hope that has ears to hear the message of Easter and do more than scratch our confused, downcast heads. Hope does more than believe the message of Easter. It changes our very existence, right here and right now. Oh, it might take a while. Nothing in life is obvious immediately, especially when it flies in the face of everything we think we know to be true. Even when it comes to things that we want to be true and long for with all of our hearts and minds, hope tends to emerge slowly. How will we know when hope's light has begun to dawn upon us? We will emerge from all the places death seems to have declared the final word with an assurance that the story, our story, isn't over. Not yet. Courage will be found that will cast out our fear. While we will never understand the resurrection, not in the way we would like to understand it or be able to explain things, a clarity will begin to settle in, and we will begin to live into the hope of the resurrection. The story that once seemed to be over and done will continue. As it continues, it will be a story, a narrative of newness of life that is characterized by all of the joy of resurrection. A story of how death is swallowed up in victory. While Mark's gospel did originally conclude with verse 8, over the passing of time, addendums were added that carried the story beyond the initial response of confusion and fear. Stories of how the presence and power of Jesus continued to be encountered and experienced by his followers. Stories in which hope slowly began to shine, dispelling the overwhelming darkness and confusion. The joy of resurrection did not come with the day's first dawn or even the announcement in the garden that Jesus had risen. And the joy of resurrection will not come simply because we gather to sing our alleluias or hear the Easter story again today. The joy of Easter will dawn when we hear the message of the resurrection with an abiding sense of hope. A hope that defies the sting of death and swallows death up in victory. A hope that meets us in all the places of death we might ever enter. A hope that raises us up, offering us encounters here and now with the presence and power of the living Christ. Alleluia.